So the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, for the first time in, I think it's been like 20 years, they have frozen tuition increases at the 14 state-owned universities and colleges, the state-owned system. And look, I think it's about time. It's a good thing. But what's that going to mean? Because there's part of me that goes, well, yeah, I see that's a good thing to freeze tuitions on the students because things are getting out of hand. Student debt is getting just way out of hand. But is the state going to pick up the rest of the cost, or is this something that's going to end up on the backs of the faculty, the people who teach in these institutions? Is it going to be, well, more cuts to programs, less opportunities? You know, how are they going to navigate this? And here to share some thoughts on the tuition freeze, I've asked Ken Mash to come talk with us. He's the president of APSCUF. Ken, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thanks, Rick. It's great to be here.
So walk me through this. What's the story? They're freezing tuitions at what?
Well, they're freezing the tuition. You know, tuition now at the state system is about $7,700 a year. But, you know, you can't just look at the tuition. You have to look at the total cost. And I think the system estimates the total cost being around almost $21,500 a year for students to attend. When you take into account housing and board and all the fees that are associated along with tuition.
Yes, so you're talking about almost $100,000 for a four-year degree.
Right. You're talking about, you know, people in communities, that's more than their houses are worth. So, you know, we're talking about situations where we're supposed to be serving the working class, and it's become increasingly unaffordable. And that's not just the perspective, that's in the data where we see that the greatest percentage of the students that we're losing and our enrollment has been going down has been from students from the lower and middle income families.
You know, I look at this and again, you know, I remember something the guy who was president before you had told me. He said, you know, back in the 80s, the state and the tax base picked up about two-thirds of the cost of education, that the students picked up about a third. I said, you know, right. This was going back a couple of years. This is completely flipped around to where the students are picking up about three-quarters on the tax base, right. Is picking up about a quarter of the cost. Is this going to help, you know, turn that tide back around, do you think? I mean, is this a good thing?
Well, I mean, you know, everything is a matter of perspective. Certainly from the perspective of the students, it's a good thing to not close out more students. Certainly from, you know, the perspective of Pennsylvania overall, we need as many educated people as we could possibly can. That's what the market's going to call for in the years to come for us to attract employers. We're going to need people to come. We're going to need to provide quality higher education. But having said that, you know, it doesn't add up. So, you know, we're still operating pretty much on 2005 levels, and that's not even accounting for inflation. Pennsylvania ranks 47th, 48th when it comes to almost every measure as far as the contribution of the state to higher education, public higher education. So this is a really sad situation. The U.S. News and World Report is ranked Pennsylvania 50th. Largely for the amount of student debt that our students have to take on, which, of course, impacts their lives, impacts the economy in Pennsylvania because students graduate and they can't afford to do the things that people would normally expect to do when they graduate from college, like start buying homes and cars and starting families. And I think the data has even shown, on a national level at least, that, in fact, it's true that this generation is starting families, getting married, starting families later than generations before.
Yeah, you know, last night we spoke with Heather Long, the reporter from the Washington Post, and she was saying that, you know, there are less small businesses being started. And one of the things that I brought up is, you know, is it possible that you've got the next generation coming behind us who is saddled with a lifetime of student loan debt? They are starting families later, and they are doing all these things much later. And could the fact that you've got, you know, small businesses at being started at a much lower rate than in previous generations, could that student loan debt be a big part of that? Because they're not willing to take on more risk. They're not willing to get more loans. They're not willing to be able to put out a shingle because of being saddled with this student loan debt.
That's right. You know, capital is being, or the ability to raise capital is extremely important in starting a business. And if you're starting off in the hole, it's very hard to start to raise capital in order to be able to start a business. So we have that part of it. We have the situation now, too, where we have grandparents who have co-signed loans for students, and students are defaulting on their loans. And now we have grandparents who are making decisions about whether they're going to pay property tax or whether they're going to pay back banks for the student loan. So, I mean, this is it's an awful situation.
Yeah.
Certainly, this puts a halt to it. But, you know, you can't make something out of nothing.
Right.
So our universities, you know, the costs keep going up. You know, costs, you know, for heating go up. Cost of maintaining buildings goes up. The cost of everything goes up. And, yes, cost of labor go up as well. You know, when people will often say, or we hear at least from some of the members of the legislature that, you know, oh, it's your salaries that are driving up the cost. That's just, you know, it's simply not true. When we look at the data, our salaries are about what they were if you adjust for inflation 10 years ago. That's not what the impact is. The problem is that we're not getting the support from the Commonwealth.
Right, but, you know, what their argument is, the fact that you're making a living wage. I mean, you should all be adjuncts. You should all be making 2,000 bucks a course, and with no health care and no pension. You should all be desperate, and you should all be begging for peanuts on the street corner.
Right, so, you know, we're very proud that our universities still primarily made up. We managed to hold the line, and that's largely because of the work of my colleagues in our union, that we've been able to hold the line on the number of adjunct faculty who work at our universities. We overwhelmingly, our full-time faculty have doctorates, which means that people spent years in school. And, you know, if you want to talk about the student debt and adding up, you know, these are people who have accumulated large amounts of student debt because they've gone on to get doctorates in order to stay on top of their field.
Yeah.
Do the best jobs that they possibly can. But the bottom line is you can't keep operating things when, you know, you're working off the same budget that you were getting in 15 years ago. You know, it just doesn't add up. So I think this is essentially a gambit, right? This idea of keeping tuition steady. It's a gambit, right? Because what we hear from the legislature, particularly from our Republican legislators, is, you know, your tuition, you got to keep the tuition under control. There's other things that the Board of Governors is doing. You know, they talk often about accountability. They're building a lot of accountability measures to look what's going on. So, you know, from my view, the board is playing chicken with the legislature, saying, all right, you want us to keep tuition steady? That's not going to be an easy thing to do. We're not the same universities. We've been cutting back on programs. We don't have the same number of offerings at our universities that we used to have. You know, opportunity has been peeled back. Tuition has gone up, you know, but we're going to hold the line.
Right.
We're going to try and make it work for a year. That's what you said you wanted. Now it's your turn to take accountability and increase your allocation.
Right, but here's my fear in this. In this game of chicken, what you end up with is a system that's weaker. Because there's a call by some to privatize, to get rid of it, to put it in the hands of the profiteers, or at least some of the universities, like Westchester, for instance. I've heard people all the time say, well, we should just sell that off. We could get a whole bunch of money for that. And I'm going, but, you know, the whole point of having this system was to have the ability of working class kids to get an education, for us to be able to ensure that people have opportunity to move forward. And really, you know, to talk about, you know, why we have the system in the first place. Why we need to really heavily invest in education going forward.
So, you know, but the pattern that we have been in with the legislature, where we consistently get underfunded, and here, you know, we have to hold the governor's feet to the fire, too. This year, he only recommended a 1.5% increase for the state system. We wound up getting 2 in the end. But, you know, he only recommended 1.5%. We have to keep their feet to the fire and say, hey, this just doesn't work along the way. It's a risky gambit, but, you know, for the longest time, they've underfunded us. what we wind up doing is raising tuition a little bit. And by the way, every single one of those dollars matters to our students. We're not talking about students with means. You know, every if it's a $50 or $100 increase, that can mean students making decisions about whether to eat or buy books. So, you know, we've done this pattern where we raise it a little bit, we raise it a little bit, we raise it a little bit, and then over time it accumulates. We wind up pricing students out of ever going. We wind up with universities that are not functioning the way they should. The class size is going up at our universities, programs shutting down. This is not a winning situation. So, you know, something different has to be done.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand what the board has done, the decision that they've made. You know, we're going to go and we're going to advocate. And we're, you know, I just spoke at the board meeting and I said, look, I understand what you're doing here, but really, we need people in Harrisburg, our policymakers in Harrisburg, to own the decisions that they've made to make college unaffordable. And we need to all collectively now go and talk to them and tell them to take responsibility for these really conscious, this conscious policy decision to underfund public higher education.
And it's not new. I mean, this is something, you know, this is 30 years in the making.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we've seen this steady decline, and you know, you rightly point out for the students that, you know, this Commonwealth at one time picked up 2/3, and now it's 25% or less that the Commonwealth is picking up, depending on which one of the universities you're going to. So, you know, this is not, my generation benefited from public higher education. I certainly would not be where I am, although I grew up in New York. I went to a city university school. I could not have done it. My parents were working class people. We couldn't have done it without that opportunity. And I shudder to think who is not able to go. Yeah. And I shudder, too, when I go around the Commonwealth and I listen to the student who's going to Lock Haven University talk about the fact that she has to work 2 and 3 jobs while going to college. You know, and I said to her, look, you're a superhero that you're able to do this, but why should we expect our students, this generation, to be superheroes in order to get what we took for granted, which was affordable public higher education?
No, you're absolutely right. So let's flip this to the 2020 presidential election, because, you know, I just got back from NetRoots Nation in Philly, and this was one of the key issues they were talking about, college affordability and the debt that we've saddled on probably 2 generations now. You know, this to me is another one of those issues that the federal government at some point has to take the lead on as well, right?
Well, it certainly would be, you know, it would be very helpful to the students if Pell Grants also went up, you know, aid to working people so that to make it more affordable. So the federal government certainly has a bigger role to play. They could be providing grants to the states to help pay for higher education. But, you know, we can't run away from it. Again, U.S. News Report ranked Pennsylvania 50th in the country for public higher education, for higher education generally. We rank, you know, 48th or 47th when it comes to per capita funding for full-time students, as far as allocation goes. 47, 48, 50. Again and again, you know, the legislators have to wear that, right? They have to own it at some point. The governor, too, has to own that at some point, that's the burden. You know, they're placing a burden on this generation and making their lives difficult, not just right now, but into the future when it comes to student debt.
So last question I've got for you. What's the marching order out of this? I mean, this is a good thing, I think, but I think you've laid out a scenario where, you know, while I was going, wow, this is good. I mean, it might be helpful to the students to have this freeze, but ultimately it could be destructive. So what should we be doing in the interim?
Right. So this is good for the students, but it certainly is unsustainable. So we need everybody. We need students. We need their families. We need all the people of Pennsylvania, because people have got to understand that everyone's future in the Commonwealth depends on our capacity to be able to attract employers are going to have good jobs to create a tax base in this Commonwealth that everyone will benefit from. So everyone needs to contact their legislators in Pennsylvania and tell them that they need to treat this generation the same way that every generation before has been treated.
All right, good stuff. Ken, I appreciate the time. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks a lot, Rick. It's always good to be on.
Good stuff. Ken Mash, president of AppScuff. And look, you know, this is, as I've said in the past, this is another one of those moments where we seriously have to figure out what the priorities are of we the people. And I get this a lot. Like, wow, you know, I had to take out student loans, not at this rate, and the tuition costs weren't the same. It's just amazing to me. Anyway, but Ken Mash, he's the president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. Good people. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show.
Keeping the chambers of